Welcome back to another custom tailored deep dive, designed specifically for you, the learner.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, we spend a massive amount of time looking at software that just lives purely in the cloud, right?
Yeah.
Like completely abstracted away from the messy physical world.
Right. Totally detached.
Exactly. We talk about data centers and virtual machines as if they just exist in a vacuum. But today, our mission is exploring a really fascinating intersection where cutting-edge AI software slams directly into hardcore, off-grid physical infrastructure.
It's a very real-world application.
It is. And we've got a really compelling and, frankly, somewhat wild stack of sources on the desk today.
Wild is definitely the right word for it.
Yeah. So we're looking at a comprehensive research report on a company called Deriticular. And alongside that, and this is the crazy part, we have a highly confidential, leaked internal product document detailing their proprietary AI IT software.
That leak is incredible, honestly. Yeah,
it's wild. And then to kind of bridge the gap between their rugged hardware and the AI brains running it, we also have some recent product news straight from Google Cloud about their latest frontier models.
Yeah, it really is a fascinating collision of technologies. We're looking at what happens when enterprise-grade artificial intelligence stops just, you know, generating text or compiling code and actually starts managing physical survival in extreme environments.
Right.
We are moving from chatbots to systems that literally control the thermostat in a blizzard.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand Deriticular, you really have to understand the core problem they're trying to solve, which they dramatically call the death of the line.
It is a dramatic name, but it fits.
It does. Their entire philosophy is built on the premise that traditional linear infrastructure is becoming incredibly fragile.
By linear, they mean centralized power grids.
Right. Centralized power grids, municipal water systems, long-haul supply chains, fiber optic cables. They argue these systems are increasingly vulnerable to massive cascading failures.
Cascading is the key word there.
Exactly. If a substation blows in one county, three other counties lose power. Whether that disruption comes from geopolitics or extreme weather or just aging infrastructure, their view is that if one part of the line breaks, the whole downstream system just goes dark.
Which is a vulnerability we see playing out globally all the time now. What Deriticular offers as the antidote to that fragility is a concept they call spherical resilience.
Spherical resilience.
Yeah. Instead of relying on a long, vulnerable line, they want you to think of a self-contained, heavily armored bubble. What's fascinating here is how they are proving this concept through their flagship deployment, which they've dubbed Project Octagon.
Right, the planetary mesh.
Exactly. They have established a mesh of 8 completely independent sovereign infrastructure nodes. And they aren't putting these in mild, forgiving climates to test them out.
No, definitely not.
We are talking about deployments in extreme environments like the frozen Canadian tundra, rural Uganda, and the harsh Arizona desert.
And reading through the report, the defining feature of these nodes is what they call their island mode capability.
Right.
They are designed to be entirely self-reliant. Like, if the global grid goes down, they aren't waiting for a utility truck to come fix a downed wire.
They'd freeze before the truck got there.
Exactly. They generate their own power, utilizing either solar arrays or localized plasma generation. They establish their own connectivity using Starlink constellations or local mesh networking, and they process all their data locally using edge AI.
That is the technical ambition of island mode.
Yeah.
But, you know, ambition usually hits a wall when it comes to financial reality.
Oh, for sure.
Building off-grid infrastructure, especially in remote, hostile environments, is notoriously expensive. And maintaining it is even worse. Shipping replacement parts or diesel fuel to the Canadian tundra isn't exactly cheap.
Which brings up the obvious question, right? How does this possibly pay for itself? Deriticular claims to solve this through a radically new economic model they call diesel to data.
Diesel to data.
Yeah. So traditionally, a remote compound or research station would have to constantly import incredibly expensive diesel fuel just to keep the generators running and the lights on. Instead of doing that, these nodes utilize what Deriticular calls blue-collar AI.
I love that term.
It's great. This AI manages the local hardware to generate and verify highly specific local data, what they refer to as the ground truth.
And to give you an idea of what ground truth actually means in this context, we're talking about hyper-accurate, real-time telemetry.
Right, like what kind of data specifically?
Things like battery degradation rates when a storage array is exposed to negative 40 degrees Celsius, or soil moisture and mineral depletion levels during an extended drought in Arizona.
And this is where I find their model a bit hard to wrap my head around. Because that data is generated locally and verified on the blockchain, DeReticular turns it into an exportable, high-value digital asset. They're essentially creating a data arbitrage opportunity. By owning that localized ground truth data, the infrastructure theoretically monetizes itself. It's an economy where you trade local physical insights for global digital capital.
Which sounds great.
It sounds great. But does trading soil moisture data for crypto actually keep the lights on?
It's a massive gamble. I mean, running blockchain verification nodes requires significant compute power.
Which requires energy.
Exactly, which in turn requires energy. Doing that in the tundra seems counterintuitive. But their bet is that specialized environmental data is becoming so valuable to climate modelers and global supply chains that the digital asset will outweigh the physical energy cost.
The math has to be perfect.
It does. And to pull that balancing act off, you need a seriously intelligent system running the show. You can't have a human doing the math on that in real time.
And according to the research report, that brain is called Rios.
Yes, the Rural or Interchangeably Robotic Infrastructure Operating System. Rios is an AI-native operating system designed from the ground up to replace human management with autonomous agentic workflows. It is orchestrating real-time energy generation, water purification, and autonomous logistics across the entire node without human input.
The way DeReticular structures this OS is wild. They don't just have background algorithms running quietly. They use what they call persistent intelligences.
Essentially acting as AI executives.
Yes. They even give them titles. For example, there's an agent named Remnant.
Remnant.
Remnant holds the title of Dean of the DeReticular Academy. Its primary job is to run continuous black swan simulations, constantly stress testing the digital twins of these nodes against total grid collapse scenarios. Remnant also manages something called the Spark Spread.
The Spark Spread is perhaps the most critical component of Rios. It is a real-time algorithm that decides the immediate fate of the energy the node just generated.
Like a split-second decision.
Exactly. Imagine a scenario where the solar panels generate a surplus. Remnant has to decide on the fly whether to store that energy in the battery banks for the night, burn it immediately to power high-intensity AI compute or crypto mining because the market price just spiked, or run a condenser to convert it into physical, storable fuel.
Wow.
It's making commodities trading decisions while also ensuring the humans on the compound don't freeze to death.
And then there is another AI executive named Thunder, which acts as an automated grant writing agent.
Which is brilliant.
Right. Its sole purpose is to endlessly identify, draft, and submit grant proposals for capital formation. These aren't just customer service chatbots. They are functional executives making hard financial and operational decisions.
Very high stakes.
And this is where the Google Cloud source documents become incredibly relevant to the story. If you are DeReticular, migrating these persistent intelligences to Claude 4.6, both the Opus and Sonnet models on Vertex AI, represents a massive strategic shift.
It's a game changer. The Google Cloud documentation specifically highlights that Claude 4.6 combines frontier model performance with built-in agent tooling and enterprise-grade security.
Right.
If an AI like Remnant is deciding the energy allocation for an entire compound in a hostile climate, you need the most advanced reasoning model available, and you need to be highly secure from external tampering.
Looking at the release notes from Google, they actually cite a few early adopters to prove how fast these models are moving from idea to production.
Who do they mention?
Guy Gerrari, the co-founder of Augment Code. He's quoted saying, "Thanks to the ease of implementing it through Vertex AI, we switched our chat feature to Claude Sonnet and improved performance in a single weekend."
A single weekend.
That speed of deployment is staggering. And Amjad Massad, founder and CEO of Riplet, noted that their AI agent is made more powerful through Claude models running on Vertex AI.
That underlying agentic power is exactly what DeReticular needs to scale Remnant and Thunder. They need deep reasoning so that hallucination rates don't suddenly crash their spark spread allocation and leave a node without power.
Literally leaving them in the dark?
Right. But as advanced as the Rios brain is, physical hardware in the real world eventually breaks.
Always.
People forget their passwords. Network cables degrade. And that brings us to the internal leak on the desk today.
Here's where it gets really interesting. We have a confidential internal document from DeReticular. It's marked version 1.0, dated March 11th, 2026.
Super recent.
Very recent. And it details a completely new product called the Sovereign Support Desk.
To understand why a company focused on off-grid survival is building an IT product, you have to look at the massive vulnerability of the modern IT help desk.
How so?
For an enterprise that values extreme privacy or operates completely off-grid, routing employee troubleshooting tickets through cloud-based systems or public language models is a massive operational security risk.
Oh, because it all goes back to the cloud.
Exactly. You are essentially leaking proprietary network maps, administrative credentials, and internal workflows straight to big tech data centers every time an employee asks a cloud-based chatbot how to reset a router.
That makes total sense.
The Sovereign Support Desk claims to solve this by bringing the entire IP support apparatus to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
The brain stays strictly on their localized hardware, which they call the Sovereign Sentry.
Okay, looking at this leaked document, it breaks the system down into two tiers. Let's start with level one. They call it the Triage Sentinel. What exactly is this first tier doing, and how much are they charging for it?
The SKU for this tier is SOV Auto HelpPL1, and the leak lists it at $599 for perpetual license per node.
Okay, not bad.
Under the hood, it utilizes a highly optimized local large language model. Specifically, it mentions the Llama 3.8b Instruct Quant K4 model.
Quite a mouthful.
It is. But a raw model isn't enough for IT support. It pairs that model with a Milvus vector database to perform local outage.
Let's pause there because that's a dense string of technical specs. For the sake of the discussion, what does local RRAG actually mean in practice for an employee out in the tundra?
RRAG stands for Retrieval Augmented Generation. Basically, before the AI answers an employee's question, it securely searches a localized, closed vault of the company's specific PDF manuals and network diagrams.
So it looks at their actual files.
Right. It retrieves the factual documentation first and then generates the answer based only on that text. It prevents the AI from guessing or pulling irrelevant information from its general internet training.
It's grounded.
Perfectly grounded.
It's perfect.
So primary job is to intercept about 70% of human support tickets before they ever reach an actual IT person.
The document actually gives a great kind of futuristic analogy for this. Imagine an employee types into the internal chat, "How do I connect the new curb car to the charging array?" Because this compound is entirely off-grid, they can't just Google the manual. The L1 agent instantly searches that local vector database, retrieves the specific PDF manual for that exact piece of heavy machinery, and generates a clear step-by-step summary for the user.
Super practical.
It also mentions it handles basic API executions, like an Active Directory LDAP password reset, which, as I understand it, just means it securely hooks into the employee login directory to reset passwords without human intervention.
That's the baseline assumption.
Yeah.
But if the issue is beyond a simple manual lookup or a password reset, it escalates to level two. The leak calls this tier the Remediation Architect under the SKI SOV Auto HelpPL2.
And the price jumps.
It jumps to $12,299 per node. This tier requires significantly heavier processing power because it runs a specialized 14 billion parameter model called Derek Code Admin.
Okay.
The documentation notes this model is fine-tuned specifically on sysadmin scripts, network topographies, and bash commands.
Bash commands being the instructions you type directly into an operating system to control it.
Right. The critical difference here is that the level two agent doesn't just talk to the user. It takes action. It acts as an active cyber-physical operator.
It's basically a highly skilled, localized AI sysadmin.
Exactly.
So if the level one agent escalates a ticket saying a network switch is dropping packets, this level two agent can autonomously SSH, meaning it securely logs directly into the switch's command line run diagnostics like traceroutes and parse the interface logs.
It's doing the actual troubleshooting.
Yeah. If it detects a hum port, it will actively execute a command to bounce or restart that specific port, verify the fix worked, and then casually message the user back saying the connection is restored.
That autonomous SSH capability is incredibly powerful for remote troubleshooting. But it's the physical integration detail next that truly sets DeRticular's vision apart from standard enterprise IT.
Oh, this is easily the most sci-fi detail in the entire leak, and I had to read it twice to believe it.
It's crazy.
If the digital commands fail, let's say the server is completely locked up, the network interface card crashed, and it's unresponsive to anything over the network, the level two agent can use a local serial bus to command what they call the Sovereign Helping Hand.
A great name.
It is an actual physical robotic arm installed inside the server rack, The AI literally commands a robot finger to reach out and physically push the power button to perform a hard reboot on the frozen server.
It sounds absurd, like something out of a science fiction movie. But if you think about an unstaffed infrastructure node in the middle of a blizzard where a technician can't just walk into the server room, a physical hard reboot mechanism is sometimes the only solution to a total lockup.
That's very true.
Of course, giving an AI physical root access to critical infrastructure introduces massive, potentially catastrophic security risks.
Right. If it hallucinates, it could just start turning off power to the water purifiers. How do they prevent that?
They mitigate this with strict constraints. For highly destructive commands like wiping a hard drive or altering core firewall rules that would expose the compound core, the level 2 agent can prepare the script, but it is hard-coded to physically pause execution.
Wait, it pauses?
Yes. A human designated as a deep admin must physically walk over and tap a sovereign key, which the document notes is a YubiKey, to authorize the action.
Wait, let me get this straight. The AI writes the script to destroy the data, but it physically can't execute it until a human walks over and turns a key.
That's the safeguard.
That sounds less like IT support and more like the plot of a Cold War submarine movie.
It really does.
So looking at the deployment side of this, if an IT director actually buys this software, what does the setup process look like?
The leaked document outlines a really fascinating fulfillment workflow. When the software is purchased, the provisioning server first performs what they call a hardware shake.
Your hardware shake.
Yeah. It pings the client's local node to ensure it actually has the 32 gigabytes of RAM required to run these specialized models. If the hardware passes the shake, it enters the brainwashing phase.
The brainwashing phase. Jarticular has a real talent for dystopian naming conventions.
They certainly lean into the aesthetic. During this brainwashing phase, the system spends 2 to 4 hours using the local CPU and GPU to do localized optical character recognition.
OCR.
Right. It reads and vectorizes every single company manual, standard operating procedure, and network diagram available on the local shared drives. And the crucial part of this phase is that there is zero cloud upload.
None at all.
None. The brainwashing happens entirely within the isolated bubble of the compound, ensuring no proprietary data ever touches the public internet.
Okay, so the AI knows everything about the company's hardware. It's intercepting the easy tickets. It's restarting network ports. It's even commanding robot arms to physically reboot servers. But how does a company actually track this?
Track the performance, you mean?
Specifically, how do outsourced IT guys manage service providers prove they're actually hitting their response time targets if an AI is doing all the heavy lifting behind the scenes?
Ah, this is where their integration of blockchain technology comes back into play. And it's quite clever. They use something called the proof of SLA via the Lacutus Ledger.
Proof of SLA.
It attempts to automate accountability completely. When an employee submits a ticket, a cryptographic block is initiated on the ledger with an exact timestamp. When the AI agent resolves the issue, it hashes the resolution log, proving the work was done, and closes the block.
And then a Lacutus smart contract takes over, calculates the exact time elapsed between the ticket opening and closing.
Exactly.
The document claims that if the issue was resolved in under 15 minutes, the managed service provider's monthly retainer fee is automatically unlocked from an escrow stablecoin wallet.
It's wild.
Jarticular is pitching this as trustless IT billing. According to the leak, the goal is zero human audits and no arguing over response time metrics at the end of the month. The AI fixes the router, the blockchain verifies the speed, and the smart contract pays the bill automatically.
Which sounds incredibly frictionless on paper. But entrusting your IT budget to a smart contract and your servers to an autonomous AI requires serious guardrails.
I would hope so.
Yeah. The leak includes a rigorous risk register to ensure this system doesn't accidentally bankrupt or destroy the compound. For instance, to mitigate the AI making things up, they have strict RAG enforcement.
How does that work?
If the answer to a query isn't found in those local vectorized archives during the brainwashing phase, the AI is hard-coded to escalate to a human rather than guessing.
That's smart. They also detail a protocol called blast radius containment.
Blast radius containment.
Yeah. This prevents the level 2 agent from getting trapped in a rogue execution loop, like restarting a critical network switch over and over again until the hardware fails. It operates on the principle of least privilege, meaning the AI is only able to execute commands against specifically whitelisted IP addresses.
So it feels safe.
And to prevent credential scraping, like an intern casually asking the chatbot to hand over the firewall root passwords they use identity-bound queries, the local chat requires single sign-on verification, cross-referencing the user's permissions before it generates an answer.
This brings us back to the Google Cloud announcements we discussed earlier.
Right.
While the Sovereign Support Desk uses local smaller models like Llama 3 for absolute edge security, the overarching Rios brain that manages the entire compound's energy and logistics needs significantly heavier cognitive lifting. If we connect this to the bigger picture, Gemini 3.1 Pro on Google Cloud is positioned as the missing piece for managing the chaotic edge cases that dereticular nodes face.
Right, because we have to remember these nodes aren't sitting in a climate-controlled data center in Silicon Valley. They are operating in extreme weather with constant connectivity drops. It's a messy, unpredictable environment.
The real world is incredibly noisy. The Google documentation specifically points out that Gemini 3.1 Pro unlocks a breakthrough in deep reasoning for complex automation and multi-step problem solving.
Multi-step is key there.
It explicitly says the model excels at the edge cases that matter. When a node is dealing with a bizarre combination of events, say, a blizzard drops the solar yield to zero, while simultaneously a local mesh network router fails, and the battery array starts reporting anomalous temperature drops.
Yeah, total nightmare scenario.
Exactly. You need a model that can reason through that highly specific edge case efficiently without panicking or shutting down the life support systems.
Looking at the quotes in the Google release, the early users really back up that capability. Vladislav Tenkov, the director of AI at JetBrains, stated that Gemini 3.1 Pro is stronger, faster, and more efficient, requiring fewer tokens while delivering more reliable results.
Efficiency is huge when compute is tied to physical energy.
Absolutely. And Andrew Carr from Cartwheel noted that because it excels at those weird anomalies, they were able to close a long-standing rotation order bug in one of our export pipelines.
It figures out the weird stuff.
Yeah. That kind of robust, multi-step problem solving is exactly the cognitive engine Rios needs when the grid goes down and the variables get complicated.
But even with an AI like Remnant managing the energy markets, and the sovereign helping hand physically resetting servers, Dereticular's documentation acknowledges a stubborn reality.
Which is?
Humans still need to be in the loop. The people living in these nodes have to be trained to operate and maintain the hardware in a post-grid world.
They can't just be totally hands-off.
No. To address this, they created the Sovereign Power Technician, or SPT, certification. They describe the training program as a flight simulator for energy.
And to run a highly realistic simulation that actually prepares a human for a disaster, you need incredible visual generation. This is where the newly announced Nano Banana 2.
Such a quirky code name.
Which is the quirky code name for the Gemini 3.1 Flash Image Model. It comes into play perfectly. The documentation says it delivers pro-level visuals at startup speed, providing studio-quality image generation with vastly improved world knowledge for complex physical objects.
For a virtual reality training simulator, that speed and accuracy is vital. If a technician is in the simulator learning how to deal with a failing localized plasma generator, the simulation needs to look, react, and degrade exactly like the real hardware would.
It has to be visually perfect.
Exactly. Bianca Rangecroft, CEO of Waring, noted in the release that the model returns structured, predictable outputs. And Eddie Schiff of Figma Weave praised its flexibility, saying it stays responsive to our direction even after many rounds of edits.
So practically speaking, Dereticular can use Gemini 3.1 Flash to generate real-time, highly accurate visual renderings of complex system failures. Imagine rendering a catastrophic pressure vessel rupture in a water purification unit, complete with the correct physics and structural damage.
The training value of that is immense.
The human technicians can train on these realistic disaster scenarios safely, and Dereticular can constantly update the training materials at startup speed without needing to hire a Hollywood visual effects studio.
It allows the training to evolve just as fast as the AI managing the compound evolves.
So what does this all mean? When you step back and look at all these pieces together, the Google Cloud Frontier models providing the deep reasoning, Dereticular's Rios managing the energy economics, and the leaked Sovereign Support Desk handling the cyber-physical troubleshooting.
It's a massive shift.
It is. The core takeaway for you, the listener, is that we are witnessing a massive convergence. The combination of hyper-advanced AI and rugged decentralized hardware means that off-grid compounds can now independently maintain both their digital and physical health with near-zero human intervention.
Near zero.
The DevOps sovereign who manages the servers, the industrial foreman who manages the power grid, and the IT support desk who resets your passwords. They haven't just been outsourced. They have all converged into localized autonomous AI agents running in a box in the desert.
This raises an important question, though. It's something that isn't explicitly answered in any of these research documents, leaked product specs, or press releases, but it is the natural endpoint of all this technology.
I'm listening.
If the energy grid, the physical logistics, the grant writing, and even the IT help desk are entirely managed by autonomous AI agents, actively trading data for crypto to sustain themselves in extreme environments, what exactly is the role of the humans actually living inside these spherical resilience nodes?
That's a profound point.
Are we still the masters of this localized infrastructure? Or, as the systems become entirely self-sufficient, are we just becoming the biological pelts being kept warm and comfortable by the real operators? Remnant, Thunder, and the Sovereign Helping Hand.
Wow. Biological pets to a localized robotic infrastructure. That is definitely a provocative scenario to chew on as these models get smarter. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive, Learner. Whether you are currently living on the main grid or sketching out the plans for your own off-grid AI compound, keep questioning the invisible infrastructure around you. We'll see you next time.